Try that again. Praise the Lord. So good to be here with you today. And this beautiful day the Lord has given us. Thank you for that selection. Great is thy faithfulness. That was perfect for the message this morning. And just perfect. As Mr. Cooper said, we are from Beckley, West Virginia. It's in the southern part of the state. Just a little less than an hour from the Virginia line. They're in Raleigh County, West Virginia. Been there going on 48 years next month, all my life. And one thing that drew us to Alabama was that Southern hospitality. And the hospitality this morning. That's right. There's no people like the people from Alabama. My wife's with me, Beth, and my mother-in-law, Pat, and my daughter, Kaylee. Kaylee lives down in Navarre, Florida, with her brother. He's stationed in the Air Force down there. Pray for him. We took prayer requests this morning, and Beth mentioned to pray for him. He's going to be deployed next week on a five-month deployment to somewhere in the Middle East. He won't tell us exactly where. We have kind of a notion where we think it might be, but he'll be there for 5 months, and he'll leave his wife behind, and I know that'll be hard to do and be gone for that long. Give me just a little bit on this mic. But you guys have had birthdays. Let me sing us a little bit of how we sing it in West Virginia when we have a birthday in the church. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had. But I live in the country, there in West Virginia, a little house up on the hillside, and lost my dear father-in-law back in August the 1st. He would have been 90 years old come November. Served 23 years in the Air Force, and that's his car sitting out there, not mine. I don't drive a Cadillac. I drive a Jeep. And I've got Crimson Tide on the front of my Jeep, by the way. People at home don't like it, but I like it. Roll Tide. Roll Tide, roll. That Cadillac my father-in-law gave to my daughter, we brought it down to her. We're driving that little Volkswagen, but I don't even know why I threw that in, but just be in prayer for my family. It's been a life changer since he passed, and things sure have been different. And my mother-in-law's got severe COPD, and she ain't had a bit of trouble breathing since she's been down here. She'll get up in the mornings at home and just gasping for breath and have to take a breathing treatment. I haven't seen her do that once since we got here. But you're going to learn a little bit of the culture of West Virginia through this introduction, and just in the way of the introduction. But we're going to be turning to the book of Psalms in a few moments, the book of Psalms. That I love to preach from, but let me sing a little song for you before we get started.
When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. When you tears in your eyes, your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. Someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can you. He'll come down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you. when your disappointments come and you feel so blue, there is someone who cares for you. When you need a friend till the end, there is someone who cares. He's a friend to you, yes he is. Someone to care, always someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child and he cares for you. Someone here, you'll brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child and he cares for you. Wonderful old song.
It was written by Governor Jimmy Davis many years ago. It's in one of your hymnals. I picked it up here. And I had a gentleman one year come to the church. I pastor Glenview Independent Baptist Church, and it's smaller than this church. But matter of fact, this is probably about two sizes of it. But at any rate, I had a gentleman from Virginia, from around Christiansburg, Virginia. Great singer, singing a lot like John Denver, if you remember him. Came to sing. His name was Jimmy Davis. And when I put it on Facebook, I had somebody comment, "Is that the governor, Jimmy Davis?" I said, no. He's been dead for years. But things truly have changed over the years. But one thing hasn't changed. We have a God who cares for us. Things have truly changed. And I'm going to go down through a few things that I marked down that in my life I realized had changed. In 48 years, we used maps instead of a GPS. We used to use maps to look for directions. Up until about a year ago, I still carried a map in my vehicle. And I had a GPS too, but I'd still get that paper map out. Now we use a GPS. And I don't know why everything has women's voices on it, whether it's a GPS or a Alexa. It's all women's voices. I thought women were supposed to be in submission to men. No offense. But anyway, and we ask for directions, which something about that's never changed, because I still don't like to stop and ask for directions. My wife will say, "Won't you stop and ask somebody?" I guess it's just a man thing. I got any men behind me on that? Yeah. But phone calls took a while. I can still remember my phone number when I was a kid. It was 854-0523. We didn't use area codes then. And you had to pick up the receiver, and sometimes there'd be somebody on there. For you youngsters, you don't know what I'm talking about, but it was two-party line, and you'd have to wait till their conversation was done before you could make a call. And it took a while because you had a rotary dial. It'd be something like this. Took that long to dial all those seven numbers. That was without the area code. And not long ago, we used answering machines for a caller ID. I'd look and you actually had to look things up in a phone directory. Those things are almost prehistoric now. 8-track tapes. Some of you youngsters don't know what that is. Records, cassettes. I remember playing 8-tracks and records. When cassettes come in, I thought they were the greatest thing since bubblegum, you know. And I thought, they'll never do any better than a cassette. But then, when I was in high school, the CDs come in. and you had to go to the store to get them. And I remember this one gospel album come in, and I wanted it so bad I drove an hour to the city of Charleston, the capital city of West Virginia, just to buy that CD. That's what me and my wife and I were dating. Now, download it instantly. Or if you got Spotify, even faster. This takes a couple of seconds to download the whole album. You got it. You used to go to arcades to play video games and go to video stores and rent movies. Now we stream movies. Dramatic steps made in electronic technology are simply breathtaking. We used to have to wait for photos to be processed. That was part of the fun about it. You took a picture. You didn't have a screen to see what it was going to look like. You had to wait till you sent the roll of film off to have it developed. There's some suspense to it, to wait to get that film back to see what you took. And there were no do-overs. If it didn't take right, too bad. You photographed what you photographed. You wrote things out by hand, not email. Snail mail, they call it now. We had no child-proof lids on our medicine bottles, no locks on our doors or cabinets. And when we rode our bikes, though sometimes we had baseball caps, we didn't wear no helmets. As infants and children, we would ride in cars with no car seats. We'd ride in the back of pickup trucks. I remember being on the back of my uncle's pickup truck full of bales of hay, and he hit a rock, and over we went, man. We flipped right out of there. We didn't get hurt. I guess we were tougher than nails. I don't know. No booster seats, no seat belts, no airbags, bald tires, and sometimes no brakes. We drank water from the garden hose. Man, I'd like to be in the man to come up with the, I told somebody the other day, I'd like to be in with the man who come with the idea of putting water in a bottle. Who would have ever thought we'd be dumb enough to buy water in a bottle? For goodness sake, we drank out of water hoses. We ate cupcakes, white bread, real butter and bacon, Twinkies and ding-dongs and Kool-Aid made with real white sugar. And you know what? We weren't overweight. They tell us not to eat all that stuff now. Because we were always active. We were playing outside. We wasn't sitting doing this. We would leave home in the morning and play all day. And as long as we were back in the, when the street lights came on, nobody was able to reach us. And they didn't care. We didn't have cell phones. They knew we were all right. We'd go out by ourselves to trick-or-treat on Halloween. No cable with 150 channels or DVDs. I remember we had an antenna on top of the house, got about three channels. It took about 5 minutes to turn from channel 3 to 4. Had this big old dial about that big around. You turn that thing and you could hear the antenna turning up there. Got about three channels. Something as simple as getting ice cream was an excitement. You could hear the ice cream truck coming from a football field length or more. And you hear him ringing his bell and playing his music. And I'd get, Mom and Dad, I want ice cream. I want ice cream. Here comes the ice cream man. No internet, video games. We climbed trees. Man, I stayed in the trees full of poison ivy and poison oak. We rode bikes or walked to a friend's house and knocked on the door, rang the bell, and we were welcome to come on in and have milk and cookies. I still remember the dear old lady. She's been gone for many years. Her name was Gracie. She'd always invite me in for milk and cookies. If we got in trouble in school and got a paddling, boy, we got it again when we got home. They've taken the paddle out, and if you do what the Bible says over and over in the book of Proverbs, it's child abuse. No online shopping. The rate of change is so great today is what I'm trying to get across to you, and a little humorous at times, but we begin to ask, is there nothing constant, lasting, or enduring? First, let me answer with a question. Have you ever had one of those times when you're just going through things, some things in your life, and you just can't seem to shake off the problems or the trials? You're walking through the valley and everything seems just to be falling apart. I've been there. This has been a tough year. I told them this morning, spring was crazy when we heard about this COVID-19 for the first time. And I was sick for the full month of January and half through February. I probably had it before they ever called it by name. I never coughed like that in my life. One night I almost went to the ER. It was so bad, but spring was crazy. Summer was a challenge. But I said, here comes fall. But I said, remember two words. And they're up there, one of my favorite verses. And I almost preached that today. But God. Those two words changed the whole circumstance. Sometimes you feel your faith is wavering and you don't know what to do next. Can I tell you the answer? We need to remain strong. And I preached, the last message I preached at the church was, Lord, help me to stand strong. You can find it on Facebook. If you want to go back, I think there's about a year and a half worth of my sermons on my Facebook page. Send me a friend request, or you can watch it without being a friend. I've just got it set for public. Go and watch that. But we need to remain strong and get even stronger in our faith by remembering that we have an unwavering, never-changing God that travels this life with us. He abides with us. He's with us. In the Old Testament and the New, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. All through the Bible, we read about men and women that were truly struggling, but the eternal God got them through. Abraham was, for an example, who willingly obeyed God's commands in Genesis 22:2. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham was fully prepared to slay his son, wasn't he? You know the story. While fully trusting God to either resurrect Isaac from the dead or to provide a substitutionary sacrifice. And at the last moment, God intervened and supplied the necessary ram. Joseph, for another example, I love the story of Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers who couldn't stand him because he was his father's pick. He rose to become the second most powerful man in Egypt. Moses at the Red Sea. Joshua led the people of Israel in their conquest of the Promised Land, beginning with a strange and miraculous battle of Jericho. Gideon, who like many of us was plagued with doubts and acutely aware of his own weaknesses, won the battle even when his men were outnumbered. And as I said, women as well, on a secret mission, Rahab the harlot, the prostitute, played an important role in Israel's defeat of Jericho. And you can find her in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in the first chapter of Matthew. I mentioned that this morning. This scandalous woman turned spy for God was actually honored twice in the New Testament, by the way. Sarah waited long past childbearing age to have a baby. At times she doubted, struggling to believe God. We do that, don't we? Because we're human flesh. She struggled to believe God would fulfill his promise and went ahead and gave her handmaiden to Abraham and had the son Ishmael. And Ishmael is the father of the Arab nations. Look what a mess we have. But God intervened. These heroes of the faith listed in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11. But let me remind you again that what I said a few moments ago, I asked the question, is there nothing constant, lasting, or enduring? Oh, yes, there is. God. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In this ever-changing world, and I've heard people say, I don't like change. Well, let me tell you, nothing stays the same. Nothing. He is an anchor for the soul. The Bible records these words, for I am the Lord, and I change not. In Malachi 3:6. In context, God is assuring the Jews in that book that he will both follow through on his warnings of judgment against the unrepentant and yet keep his promises to the Jews to preserve them as his people, the apple of his eye. Listen, the fact that God declares his unchangeable character right at the close of the Old Testament is a striking reminder that of all the differences between the Old and New Testaments, they reveal one unchanging God. And as I said this morning, when the Old Testament closes, there's 400 years of silence. It's Ichabod. The glory had departed. No more prophetic messages, no more songs, no more psalms, if you will. 400 years of silence, and then Jesus Christ bursts on the scene. There is hope. I love your name here, New Hope, Independent Baptist Church. I told them this morning I'm currently in a series called A Summer of Hope series, and it's from the book of Hope, the book of 1 Peter, who says that Jesus Christ is our living hope because of his resurrection. Let me talk to you this morning about an unchanging God in a changing world. Let me pray. Father, I pray that you'll help me to speak with boldness and clarity the remainder of this message. I pray for your presence, and Lord, already here with us. Thank you for the songs of Zion. Thank you for all the beautiful faces out here this morning. Thank you for this privilege, this honor to be in Red Level, Alabama, Lord. I don't take it lightly, but I count it a privilege and honor to speak your word to your people this morning, these precious people. In Jesus' name, speak to your to us from your word. Amen. Amen. Psalm 102. Psalm 102, right after the book of Job, book of Psalms. The word Psalms means to pluck strings in the Hebrew, by the way. It is our biblical hymn book. I pray that we can get into our hearts and our minds and spirits the one factor that never ever changes is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to read verses 24 through 27 in Psalm 102. 24 through 27. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax, that means grow, old like a garment, as a vesture. That's a rare clothing, a garment. Shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But look what it says in verse 27. And I always tell my people this, and I see my wife with a highlighter. Highlight and underscore it. Verse 27. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Thou art the same, thy years shall have no end. Leaders come and go. Cities come and go, he's talking about here. They appear and vanish, but the Lord is the same, and he's still on the throne. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the scripture says, and he changeth not. Listen to Matthew Henry's concise commentary. I don't share commentaries that often, but I love what it said. He said, God is an everlasting God. Do not let us overlook the assurance this psalm contains of a happy end to all the believer's trials. Though all things are changing, dying, perishing, like a vesture, a clothing, folding up and hastening to decay, yet Jesus lives. Can you say Jesus lives? And thus all is secure, for he hath said, because I live, ye shall live also. One guy said he always read Matthew's commentary down on his knees. It's a wonderful commentary to use. Listen, problems and heartaches can overwhelm us and make us feel that God hath rejected us. But God is eternally with us. He assures us he's eternally with us, keeps his promise, though you may feel alone. Give you a brief background, and I do that a lot in my messages, so you know that's how you understand the text. Understand who the writer is, who he's speaking to, and why. That's basically biblical interpretation, biblical Bible study. But the psalmist here was truly afraid that he would die in midlife and never see the restoration of Judah and Jerusalem and the temple, you see. He's overwhelmed, and so he complains before the Lord. But we are reminded in this chapter that these things would to come to pass because his promises are true. He's the everlasting God. One songwriter said, you are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint. You do not grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. If God says he's going to do something, we can rely on him to keep his word. Numbers 23:19 tells us, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Listen, in other words, he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever broken a promise? No, and he never will. Has he ever promised and not carried it through? The book of Hebrews describes Jesus as the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same from generation to generation to generation. James 1:17 notes that God is there, that in God there's no shifting of shadows. That's where that song comes from that you all sang a moment ago. Great is thy faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. That's where it comes from. James 1:17. There is no shifting of shadows. He does not embrace even the faintest shadow of change. Even day changes into night, but God does not change. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. He cannot change for the worse because he is holy. He cannot change for the better because he's already perfect. He's already there. In a world marred by evil and wickedness, we can trust confidently in God's absolute goodness. I never thought we'd see a time when they would legalize gay marriage, but we're living in it. I said this morning, I'll say again, a gentleman that I hadn't seen for years. I work at a funeral home, and this guy, I hadn't seen this couple in years, and he said, you know, Gene, I never thought we'd see these things to come to pass. He said, I thought we'd be raptured out of here before this. As much as things have changed, he does not change. God is not even tempted to do evil. We can trust in God who does not change. He's always the same, always. Look at somebody and say, always. God is always truth. He's always wise. He's always sovereign. He's always good. He's always just. He's always merciful. He's always holy. He's always gracious. He's always, always, always loving and kind. Always good. He changeth not. Now, we're not always loving, are we? We're human flesh. We get in a bad mood, or we get in the mully grubs, or we get down and out, or we get hateful, angry. He doesn't do any of that. Let me give you quickly three thoughts about this unchanging God, if I may. First, his word will never change. His word will never change. The modern day worldly preacher and church has so watered down the word and even changed it, some believe God has changed his mind on what is right and wrong. But can I tell you, if the old KJV version says it's right, and if the Bible says it's wrong. He doesn't change his mind. Oh, I'm going to change my mind on what I said there in Psalm 102. No. I can't stand watered down preaching. I like expository preaching, explaining it line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse. And that's what I try to do. I don't water it down and pat the little heads like some of them on TV do. There's some names going through your mind right now. Oh, it's going to be okay. God bless your little heart. I'm going to tell you how to have a better life. I just gave you a hint of who I was talking about. My mother gets so mad when I say that. But anyway, I'm going to move on before I get myself in trouble in hot water. Probably already did. The Word of God is a living Word. It never waxes or loses its power. The Bible says in Psalm 119, Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. If he says it, he's going to do it. If his word says it, it will, has, and will come to pass. The 1 Peter 1:25, the word of the Lord endureth forever. That's hope, folks. All three of these messages today, the Sunday school, this sermon, and the one tonight, is hope in the back, is what it's all about. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We can believe him and take him at his word. We can rest assured today that God is faithful and just concerning his word and his people. If his word has need of changing, then God made a mistake. Every doctrine of the Bible has been polluted by man-made churches. But this does not change our unchanging God. This gives me a great hope to know that the instructions from heaven have not changed. I like to call it the owner's manual. You know, you buy a new lawnmower or a new car, you get an owner's manual. That's what this is. He gave us the owner's manual to live by. The Bible will say what it says today and throughout all eternity, throughout all generations. I'm so thankful that we serve a God the same that yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. The Word will not change. Number two, his nature will never change. Psalm 86:15, but thou, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. God's enduring nature means that he will not suddenly change. He doesn't change his mind over promises he made. He will not suddenly decide that salvation is no longer found in Christ or that eternal life is no longer available. We can trust him because he is the same as he's always been and always will be. Isn't that comforting today? We can cling tightly to His Word because an unchanging God can only make unchangeable promises. He cannot violate His Word because He would be contradicting Himself. And we've already seen in Numbers that He's not a man that should lie. And also the book of Hebrews says it's impossible for Him to lie. God promises do not change. We break our promises all the time, don't we? We make New Year's resolutions and promise to go on a diet and lose weight. And we promise our neighbors will do this, and we promise we're going to do that. We break our promises all the time. He doesn't do that. We'll say, I'll pick you up tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. Now be ready, because I'm going to be there exactly 2 p.m. I don't mean 2:45 or 2:50. In fact, I want you to be standing outside when I come by, because I don't have time to wait. So tomorrow comes and you stand outside and wait, and at 2:30 p.m., I'm nowhere to be found. 20 minutes later, you're still standing there, twiddling your thumb. Finally, disgusting, you go back inside. The next day you ask where I was. I smile and say, well, I got hung up at work. I was running late. I had a lot to do. Something came up. I lost your address. I got a better offer. I didn't like the way you looked at me when I said be ready at 2:30 sharp. We can think of 1,000 excuses, can't we? But God never makes excuses. He never has to, because He always keeps His promises. We must rely on God to keep His word. He's not fickle in His feelings nor changeable in His moods. He never has bad days or good days like we do. He doesn't treat us according to the whims of the moment. He's always completely consistent with Himself. People change in their attitude toward us, don't they? They may be grumpy in the morning and then friendly at noon. They may whisper gossip to us and then turn around and gossip about us. God's character, His nature, is the same today as it was in the Bible times. That's why the Bible calls Him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Acts 3:13. Even though men come and go, God remains the same. He's the same God today that He was back then. Which means what? He's absolutely reliable and completely consistent in His dealings with His children. You like this kind of preaching? What a friend we have in Jesus. You know that song. The second verse speaks this truth in a warm and touching words. It says, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. It is precisely because God is unchangeable that He's our faithful friend. We never need to worry about being turned away, because if you listen to us once, He will listen to us again. And I told somebody the other day, He never weeks. He doesn't tire, the Bible says. He's never weary. He gets tired of hearing my same request over and over and over. No, He doesn't. The Bible says He never tires. If you listen once, He'll listen again. He'll listen to us 1,000 times, even though we come with the same request every time. And so His word never changes. And what was the second one? His nature never changes. And here's the final one. And I'll be done in just a moment. His love will never change. That wonderful love will never change. The love of God. What a wonderful song. I was listening to some hymns on the way down here, that long 10-hour trip. And you may or may not know this, but it bears repeating. The third verse was written by a man that was said to be demented on the walls of a German insane asylum. He was put to death. Here's what his words say. I don't think he was as crazy as what they thought. Could we with the ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. Listen to this line. It shall forevermore endure. the saints and angels' song. His word will never change, His nature will never change, and His love will never change. In an ever-changing world, it is more than comforting to know that we serve a God whose love never changes nor fails. When the world is shaken, we can put our faith in Him, knowing that His love for us will never change. Even though everything around us seems to be changing from day to day and falling apart, we have a solid rock to stand upon, and that rock is Jesus. To know that God loves us and that there's nothing we can do, nothing we have done, or nothing we can say or have said can change His love for us is beyond comprehension for the human mind. There's nothing you can do to make you love Him anymore, and there's nothing you can do to make Him love you any less. He just loves you, and that is one thing that'll never change. Hallelujah. Make a Baptist want to shout. What we must do is just believe that God's love for us never changes. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Romans 10:9, and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If thou believe on the Lord thy God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Acts says, and thou shalt be saved. John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's unchangeableness does not prevent Him from being involved in our lives or from caring about what happens in this ever-changing world. He cares. Folks, change is all about us. Change is something most of us dread to see. And as the pianist comes forward, and the vocalist, you may have awakened this morning to a changed situation than that you went to bed with last night. You may have found yourself wondering this morning if God has changed His mind concerning you. But guess what? You can sigh with a sigh of relief. And I said that this morning, interestingly enough, I said, God came down to us. What, anybody remember the name of the lesson? What was it? Well, yeah, it was about hope. It was, you know what, I have to look. One giant leap for mankind. Yeah. One giant leap for mankind. He came down to us. And I said, God hath visited His people, was the verse we read there. I said, you can breathe a sigh of relief. God brings relief to His people. You might have found yourself wondering this morning if God has changed His mind concerning you. But guess what? Everybody go, a sigh of relief that none of His plans concerning you have changed. Jeremiah 29:11. And interestingly enough, my daughter didn't know it, but she came and read this verse to me this morning. I was sitting in the living room over there. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. His plans haven't changed, folks, for you. Problems and circumstances of life cannot stand a chance against our unchanging God. Our God is still willing and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God Himself declares these words to His people in Jeremiah 32:27. And I close with this. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there nothing too hard for me? Father, we thank You for Your everlasting love toward us. Thank You for Your word that does not change. Thank You for Your nature that does not change. Thank You for Your love that does not change. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You that You're unchanging. Thank You for this privilege to be here today. In Jesus' name, amen.